Yeah, one right, and the beginning of visit. Here comes Mark to report after his session with Cookie over the harness this Sunday afternoon, 5th December, 71. Channel one right, began. Here comes Mark to report after his session with Cookie this Sunday afternoon, the 5th of December, 71. Channel one right, and here comes Mark to report after his session with Cookie this Sunday afternoon, 5th December, 71.
Who's that?
Well, you see what we got here.
Well, I haven't heard any report. In a week or two.
Oh.
He's not here. Call it there.
Oh, is that what you've been drinking?
What?
I asked him what he's been doing down in Turkey. He's been drinking coffee. He said he's been drinking Pepsi.
No. I tell you, we've had a goodness gracious. When did I get there? He told me he was putting some shoes on his horses, and I just missed it, apparently.
Yes.
But,
Leonard was out here, and he got...
Oh, was he?
Oh, he just put... he's a picture taker.
Yeah, I met him Sunday ago, I believe.
Well, he just took pictures of that horse and all the operations, so you won't miss anything as soon as the pictures come.
Yeah, Leonard said if anything had gotten results, he'd bring him back. He saw him and played his ice man.
He just can't resist taking a picture of Cookie.
Well, I always wonder what he was up to. Who is this person going around with a camera? I found out a week ago who he was, and Cookie told me a lot about him today.
Oh, did he?
And that he and Fayez told me that he, he's got some really good pictures, and I'm surprised how well he uses that
camera. He made them that afternoon when you were out here.
And I don't think it was a particularly sunny day.
It don't seem to matter to him whether it's rain or shine.
That's marvel what you could do.
And he never took it before. He's taken his journalism class.
Yeah.
And they furnish him a camera.
Yeah.
Except he said the camera wasn't any good much, so he borrowed his roommate.
And yet he's come out with pretty high quality pictures.
Beautiful.
Some of the best you've seen of these horses. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, listen.
I see they got the development place over there.
Oh, campus?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I see.
So.
Now, Cookie tells me he has to have that thing ready tomorrow or pretty soon. An exhibit of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he take any pictures of your horses or just Cookie's?
Cookie.
I see.
Yeah.
He's not interested in my horses.
He wants to see what Cookie is up to.
Oh, Cookie
record it for permanent.
Cookie pranced up this morning. The first thing he said was, Leonard's got to have some more pictures of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, I thought he'd have a few left over. You take some Mr. Weaver. Mr. Weaver's over here last night. We had a barbershop session.
Has he seen Mr. Weaver at all?
No, I don't really know.
So. Uh-uh. You could take some good pictures of you and, what were you sitting on?
Well, we go there where the dogs are, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could take us over here.
That'd be some, and the good lighting you have and a good seat.
That's right.
That's a primitive barbershop.
But he's got a veteran over there in his
Oh, in his house. This is in his house?
Well, you know, he just bootlegs it.
He doesn't have a downtown business.
No.
I'm surprised he gets any customers and all those dogs.
And the boy that sits by Emerson in that little clean group I have up there is an old barber in himself. He makes his living now cleaning offices at night. He got a crew. But somehow, he was over there at the house one day, I think.
Yeah.
And we found out he was a barber and had a lot of clippers. And I told him that we would play out.
Yeah.
He brought some. And they couldn't. Mr. Weaver used them last night for the first time.
Well, he needs some good clippers.
He was so proud. They were old, but they were so good.
Oh, yeah.
Were they the hand clippers?
Yeah, the electric
ones. No,
there were some electric ones.
Yeah. Oh, they were beautiful.
Yeah, well, he impressed me as being a needy person. He needed some equipment.
Well, now, what'd you find out from all
Well, now, I'll tell you something. I'm a messenger, it turns out. And I got to let you all know this. And that I've learned from faith that there's some idea that you just, the energies are given out, and that some people are interested in having a little hand on this bond here. And I heard Cookie wants to know just what's up. And I told him that some people in a college center or something like that had expressed some interest. The guy had asked you about him, so they could have a hold on the farm. And that you didn't express, didn't think that you were going to get rid of him, didn't think you were going to keep him. Just, I just don't know. At least there's some offers, and people expressed some interest in it. And that you were one of some of the things that are under consideration is that there's an awful lot of work here that you can't do yourself, just by yourself. And that another thing is that whether or not the question is whether or not there's sufficient interest, particularly among the young people, for what for the countryside and for the things that are going on here. And Cookie was impressed me with two things. One is he's got something invested in this farm. He wants me to remind you that. I told him, well, I don't think he'll be telling anything new. They fully realize it. You've got quite a bit in this farm, and they've been impressing me with that fact that you put quite a bit in this farm financially. But I said, well, I'll break it to them gradually. I'll let them know. And I told me about his equipment that he got here. And wants me to remind you of that fact. And the other thing is that, well, he told me that time. Now, if you want someone to look after that cattle, he's right over there. And that he could feed those cattle, take care of the fields, and he could share profit with you. He's worked it out. And then he talked about what good trading he does. And I knew that I'm impressed with his trading capacities.
But he done the talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you see.
And he just wants me to impress you with these two facts, and I told him I'd do it gradually, but in an inoffensive manner. But those two things, you got an awful lot invested here, and that if you want some help on the farm, you just let him buy that cattle, and that he'll. And I was impressed with him.
He worked it out.
Yeah, he worked it out. Brought out a piece of paper and
I needled him one day. I said, Cookie, you got enough in this new pickup truck. You know, he'd always said that would be a waste of time.
Yeah.
Said, you'd have all the money and tied up like that. And he drives his old 1950 model. You see, you've seen what he had. I said, you practically got a herd of cattle in that. I'd say I might have heard a cat for just about that.
Yeah.
I'm kneeling him, you see. He has thought of it, you know, he carries it in his mind sometime, and then he said to me one day, he said, there's no use of my buying them cats. I'm right here and I can take care of them.
Well, he's got it on paper now. Hell, I've just been looking at figures for the last half hour. He figured out a way to share profits with you. And you don't do any work at all. Okie dokie. Well, and the other thing, incidentally,
you can take over, Vince.
Well, incidentally, he would like you to know that we're firmly convinced, Dick and I are firmly convinced, that it's just an incidental matter that you'd wither away if you weren't right here looking after doing a little dibbling dabbling here and there.
And you'd be no good. That's
just incidental. It doesn't really matter, but we thought we'd just throw that in. But this is you right here, and it's so, you know, the simple question about if you're just concerned about, as I've occasionally gotten an impression over the last couple of months about students, whether or not, why don't they have enough time? Why are they so tied up with on campus? Why don't we have much more interest among the students and what's going on out here? Why don't they just take out the weekend? Come on over here. That worry about the interest of students is a worry that is a concern. It's a question about students that affects, you know, raises some questions about Cookie won't need to be impressed with that fact. It's not a simple matter of the students. It's a matter of him. It's a matter of me. And though I don't use the farm, I don't use it in nearly the, I don't even approximate, you know, the good uses to which you would like your students to put to it. Nevertheless, there are people like me who have found some sorts of pleasures in this, not necessarily the sort you do. Some things that have come, so it affects Cookie, affects me, and affects you. You just want to bring out, take it on the surface.
Yeah, this is you and Cookie talking now.
Mm-hmm. This comes from our hearts. So a question about, you know, it's not a question just about students. Or if it is a question about, there is a question about students, but it's a question which involves Cookie, it's a question which involves me, it's a question which involves you. Because I don't see that you could live anywhere else.
You know, I thought about that. You know, it's something, just what you look at. Well, this is about as close to what I have always been used to. It's just open and pasture and water and swamps and old fence rows. I see a few bulldozed all these old fence rows out, you see, and made it respectable. That just changed the whole tone of it.
It'd be respectable, but I wouldn't care for it. It's respect. I wouldn't respect it.
And you see,
respectable in certain people.
Anybody else wouldn't put up this old house. They'd let it stand here a while and then store stuff in it. First thing you know, they just tear it down. They'd have a great big old concrete blockhouse, you see.
Well, I don't know what these conservation-minded people, what are they liable to do? If some group is interested in conservation, would they preserve it?
No, everybody would finally have to have all the conveniences.
Little offices and fancy kitchens, appliances. But then, you know, Cookie and I were thinking about now a question we do raise. It's kind of a question that's not of much importance, because the question of real, this really stands out, is and that is whether or not farm what you have here should be put in other hands. And we just had to answer that, no, no way. But now there is this other question that, well, just whose hands, what sort of persons are going to be using this place? And if they are conservation-minded people, it might be people interested in just birds, maybe birders, those sort of people. And there we go, the opportunity for exposure to the people,
mm-hmm.
for exposure to the skills and getting along in the countryside, the plowing, the horses.
Okay, well, that's good.
What?
That's let Mark do the honors.
Okay.
You can go out there and show them around.
Oh, that's Cookie.
Oh, that's Cookie.
Yeah.
No, you don't need them, sorry.
All right.
We
well, he did. He didn't make sure.
I was afraid some of them from my crowd up there might be out there, and I didn't have much interest in it.
That's Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie is Cookie.
But now your affairs over at Sunshine are all prospering?
Well, just about rained out. But we work, a few of us work during the rain. Old Doc, he's had serious cold. You know, like cold, he was sick, really sick.
Mm-hmm.
He was up there 70. During lunch period, his hands would have cramps and couldn't close them. His Davis suspected some sort of strokes. Is that what happens during strokes sometimes?
I don't know. Is this a Doc?
Doc. Old 45 person.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was seriously ill, and his humor went for over a week. No humor at all, no jokes at all. About his women, he never heard about his women. And I missed that terribly. But I think I came in for his paycheck for a little Saturday for a few hours, and I could detect he was getting better because he was again talking about some women. And so I expect him on the job again next week. And he's reduced his beers. He doesn't take a beer every hour. And that,
oh, that's something.
Yeah, that's something that helps. But he is getting, you know, he's a pretty old man.
I didn't realize
I thought he was
that.
Young.
No, just about 70.
Hmm.
Oh,
he
just
but he can handle the horses.
Oh, he can talk to horses, yeah, beautifully. Kind of rough, but he knows how to talk. Oh, we can also talk nonsense with him, too. Yeah, so, been kind of quiet at the farm for the last week since he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And one person over there that I don't want to bring over here again, that I brought over last time.
Little boy.
He's a lively boy. I was in there. I was coming out here to talk to him.
A little too lively. And I guess at that age you get things go to your head and you have to prove yourself at every minute.
Yeah.
He has no sense of gratitude for what people do for him. For example, he wants to know, well, when can I come out here and ride horses? He's not going to come out here and ride horses. Unless I get an invitation from you, I don't think I'm going to get one. And I don't think
I
would want to
come.
How
well he rides.
I'm not sure either. But Mrs. Mm-hmm. Davis wants him to ride some of those mares that helps him, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But,
if he's a good rider, you know,
Well, you know he's not way tall, see? I heard him a little bit.
No, you can't.
Yeah,
a kid like that. No, just,
I don't want him to get
head.
Out and run, though.
Yeah. And,
he has some control over him.
Yeah. So you have all types on the farm. You have Doc and you have the little kid like that. Things go to his head.
You ever see the boss lady?
And the boss lady was moving around quite a bit.
Oh, is she?
She uses her car as her office, checking on everybody. The entire farm. As I was telling Faye, have the inevitable conflicts between the person, the manager who works in the field, you know, and the lady who works from a car or from an office. Different perspectives.
Oh, she and Henry.
Henry, yeah. Okay, Ducky. Well, I'll be running along. I just wanted to be a messenger for some information that there's not exactly the order of information. Not whether it's advice or not, I don't know. It's just feelings.
So you're going to scuff down there. He just drove down that field, that pasture. You may have to take the tractor down there to him.
That's well, right.
I'll stand there to be a little while, see if he seems to move.
Well, if you got a place to eat tonight, and you still got a lot of company at home?
Fortunately, they're gone.
Oh,
I'm
mother
and dad. Yeah, I'll be back home.
Now, he looks like he's moving around.
Well, I'll tell you what, guy. Mark's a wonderful boy.
Yes.
Wonderful boy. He talked my legs off over there all day. He wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
But he's dumb as a baby.
Well?
He's got so much education, he's dumb. He don't know how to meet the public. He had me pulling my hair out over there.
He gets me pulling my hair out.
And I just told him, I said, now, Mark. Well, I'll start first.
Oh, you got to get started.
He was talking about family. He's talking about my, referring to my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, well, I made this trip, and every time I got over 50 miles an hour, why, Helen started yakking. I said, Laura was between me and her, and I said, Laura's a fast driver too, but a good driver. And I said, we got along all right. But I said, if it had been for Laura, it would have been the most miserable trip I ever spent. And, well, he said, now what I want to know is how do you get it over to people like that, what you're trying to do? I said, in reference, I said, do you mean, how do I get it over to them that I've got to make speed? I've got to keep moving, or I don't get no place? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, some people, you just can't get it in their head. They think because that car is just moving, barely moving, well, you can get there just as quick making 10 miles an hour as you can by making 60 miles an hour. And I got my pencil and piece of paper, and I sat down and I showed him. I couldn't tell him. I had to put it in black and white. And he's that way. He's that way. when it comes to broken down, everyday, eighth grade English. But now you get up way up yonder and in the college degree and all that, and start talking to him, he can understand that. But he's got to meet with college, I mean these big college professors.
But he was trying to go along with you.
He was trying to go along.
Trying to,
but he didn't know how. He didn't know how. I had to get it in black and white and show him. Because I didn't have enough education. I don't have enough education to get it over to him in a language, in terms that he can understand it.
It seemed to me like they got off on the damnedest subjects.
Yeah, he does. And he is, that boy is, he's brilliant in one sense of the word. And just as dumb as a bank mule in another word. He told me he said he don't know how to meet the public well enough to get him a girlfriend.
He said that?
Yes, sir. And now that's getting pretty dumb, ain't it?
That's getting pretty dumb. All he got to do is
meet the public. Just meet the public.
He don't have to do a thing. If he just St. Louis, the girl will do it, won't she?
He ain't a joker.
And he said that?
That's right. He don't even have a girlfriend. I don't know how old he is. I couldn't even get that out of him.
He's not old.
27.
I couldn't even get that out of him. But yet he liking to talk my legs off.
He do.
Yeah, he eat lunch with me and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heck, he's been over there since.
I know when he went, I sicked him on you. I said, go over the cookies over there working on the harness. If you go on over there, you can help him.
You mean you didn't work on the harness?
No.
Cookie? Yes, sir.
I'd rather been plowing any time.
Well,
but it done the boy a lot of good. Really, it did. It done the boy a lot of good. He thanked me for everything before he left, and
he's polite, isn't he?
He sure is.
He got more civility than the Undertaker.
And he said, I'm gonna go to a movie tonight, and how was he spoke in? I forget how he spoke, but anyway, he's gonna go to a movie tonight and relax. He said, I'll see you next Sunday morning.
You think he can just take over this ranch and operate it?
I don't know, guy.
You gotta know a little bit before you start learning.
My daddy always told me, when you get to the place you think you know it, you're just getting ready to learn something.
Yeah.
And I found that to be true. You never get too old to learn. Never.
Well, I have told you this. I've said this to you for months now. That the trouble with them up there, they're all just like this, maybe not to this extreme. But they come out here and talk to you, or come out here and talk to me. But you know more than I do about most of these things. But say they talk to you, they don't get anywhere. They come out here and talk to me and say, Mr. Miles, how many cows have you got? And as if they can ask questions and find out everything, you see. And I don't know what it is. You see, Rick was right promising.
Yeah.
He was more promising than most of them. But you see, he was right feverish all the time he was here, you know.
Yeah. Guy, I'm going to tell you something. Well, okay. These students have come out here. A lot of them. It's the first time to be exposed to this particular type of environment. The first time. They don't know how. They can't get it in their minds all of a sudden how to observe it.
And they won't be steady enough at it to pick it up. You see, old Leonard's been out here about every Sunday since he first started. He hadn't missed much. And when he come, he don't worry you talking, does he?
No, he looks.
Yeah.
And he don't miss nothing either.
He sees what you're doing.
He don't miss a thing. All right. Now, he's just one of a thousand that'll do that, guys.
Yeah.
Every student is not alike. But a lot of them are, like I said, special and impressed.
Yeah.
That they can't take it all at one time. I mean, it's too sudden for them.
Too much of it.
Too much of it. All right. Pass that around again. And they'll get it the next time.
Yeah. I haven't had much. I was just sort of feeling away. And now you see, Mark let me have that book of his, that magazine. These boys that where they had pigtails and have a what they call a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it said in there, one little notice was from some fellow out in Arkansas. He said, it seemed to him like out there it was a fine place, but it wasn't known among the young people who had a lifestyle. Out there in the Ozarks, among the hill people and the country people. Well, you see, what I found out, Father from Mark, you see, he got in this little car with his daddy and zipped it out to California just to see, to get a feel of the earth and see some country people. He went to the communes. He didn't get anywhere. Well,
that's what he told me over there.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, just you can put the two together, and you see this boy out there in the Ozarks among the hill people and the country people. He was among them, but he never talked to them. And what is sort of distressing is they go in for this organic farming and gardening, and they don't know anything about gardening. They live it. They go out there amongst people that have gardened all their lives, you see, but they never talk to them about it. Why don't you learn a little bit from people who garden? You see, that's the most distressing thing I have got into. They can't make contact.
Well, that's the way it's marked. He can't make contact with people.
Still can't.
Still can't. But he told me over there, he says, I'm learning to do better.
I don't know what he does. I haven't heard him talk much to any point.
It'll take him as long to overcome all this college as it took him to get it.
But see, he won't do like you did. He won't take hold. He won't buy a herd of cattle and start to work. He won't buy a horse and start to work.
No, he's afraid of his own judgment. He has never had the responsibility.
Yeah. How are you going to learn without a will?
That's right. You can't learn. You've got to move out there. You've got to get your feet wet. You ain't going to get a bath without getting your feet wet.
Somewhere along the line, you've got to get your feet wet.
Yes, sir.
And squirm.
You've got to get down so low it hurts before you will realize where you're at.
Well, you see, they don't have to.
That's right. They don't have to.
They'll get jobs where they don't even have to get out on the ground. They can sit in the office and pull down a book and tell you how it's done. And get more money, you see, than you can. And that's not just his colleges, that's the bankers do the same thing.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
They don't know a daisy from a daffodil, would they?
Lord, no.
But you see, these professors up here don't know this, what we're talking. They don't know it themselves.
Why, no. Definitely not.
So they just go ahead with that elevated talk of theirs. You see, they understand things. They can read the book and tell you what's in it. But there's a cog missing somewhere. Because they never deal with a living human being.
That's right. That's just like Mark, that's about what Mark said over there a while ago. He said, you know, he said, this 8 years I've been going to school. Yeah, I'm in school 8 years. And he said, they push you so hard. They distress the fact to take the maximum amount that you can take. He said, that they rack your brain. They push you. Till that's all you think about. He said, you don't get out and see what the other half of the world is doing. You stay right there and see what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. You're sort of inbred.
Right.
Yeah. Well, now you see, if I was to tell him, I'd say Cook's over there working on the harness. Go over there and take a hold of the harness and keep your goddamn mouth shut. Just go ahead and work. And if something comes up, Cookie will tell you about it. Talk about something or other, you get along. But I'd say let the other fella set the pace and not just sit there enjoying. You want to do something all the time you're there. You don't want to sit down on a log and talk. That is one of the most disturbing things I ever got into.
And I see he came over there and he didn't say nothing about working on a harness. I was drinking a cup of coffee. And then we fixed, I fixed some lunch. We eat lunch. And they talk about horseshoes, shoeing the horse.
Yeah.
I explained to him and showed him about shoeing the horse and so on and so forth. And then it started raining and we went back inside again.
Wouldn't let them climb it down. I don't up here.
I mean, well, I enjoy talking to the boy. Because I feel I did him some good.
Yeah. You see, what I'd you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it on purchase. You don't want to do it. You just want to do it on the wing. Now, last Sunday down there was the way to talk. You're working and just talk on the wing. Last Sunday, whatever it was.
Sunday before last. Sunday before.
Now that was the way it ought to go. And some of them come out here, they can see what goes on, they come up and talk, and they can walk around the countryside, and that's the way to do it. Don't tie about it down. Well, sir, that horseshoe in this morning, that's more than I ever knew about it. You pull that, tack that nail in there, and then you get on the top side and draw it up.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Just like you'd tighten a board with a nail, pull it together.
That's right.
Those what's the first, those boys' name come out here first?
Beard.
He's a nice fella. He put that little smooth shoe on the horse.
That's right.
And didn't stay on 2 weeks.
That's right. It didn't stay on 2 weeks. And he couldn't stand up in it. I had nothing there to hold them. They were just slick.
Now, the one you brought back from Kentucky had those
corks
on the end.
That's right.
And the front.
They didn't have none on the front, no. But they had them on the back. On the front, we used them in the wintertime when it was icy and snowy.
Mm-hmm.
The horses could get better footing then.
But they gotta have something to keep them slipping.
Right. You know when I made Rowdy stretch out there?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time he stretched that far since he came down here. Back up home, Daddy had shoes on him so he could hold his feet.
Oh.
And he knew that them shoes would hold him.
Oh.
He knew them shoes would hold him.
Yeah.
He didn't stretch out so far. Then their feet start sliding forward, see?
Yeah.
Hey, that horse ain't nobody's fool.
Ways to go.
You been getting your cows in every night, getting them up, looking at them?
I just look at them, try to look at them once a day. Sure they're all there. I never can get the right number.
Oh, you look at them in the morning?
Just any time I get around to.
Well, now, guys, it's getting close to calving time. We ought to start taking better care of them.
Yeah.
We ought to start seeing them and counting them and checking up on them, making sure we got them all every day.
I ought to check on them every day.
Every day. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to every night when I get off from work, I'll come straight down here and I'll be looking at them.
Well, what I've been doing is just sort of bringing them up here to drink.
Yeah.
But now they've got a little water around the edge down there. And I don't guess they have to wait out so far. I don't know. Maybe there's not much difference. Anyhow, I didn't bring them up a while ago. It started sprinkling.
Well.
I just let them stay there. You know, on the lane a little while. Some of them drink. Most of them won't drink. I checked that float a while ago, and it's working now.
Yeah.
So it must have got a little piece of traction in it, yeah. Something like you said.
They will.
Because it was way up 6 inches above the float.
You see, when the cows get over in there, while they may have grass hanging on their mouth, you know?
Yeah.
And when they start drinking, it comes off, and it could crush them. You can't keep it up. There ain't no way.
Yeah. I tell you what, maybe this year with that artificial we've talked about, maybe this year we'll get around to doing a little bit about that. With that artificial, you can improve these calves.
Oh yeah.
50%.
I can improve them, yeah.
With that artificial. And then you won't have to fool Pappy. That would be something if you get rid of the goddamn bull. That would be something.
Well, I'd have got it last year, guy, but I just, by golly,
you weren't quite. You had.
I wasn't recuperated enough yet.
No. It's just that much extra, you know.
I wasn't recuperated enough yet. But now I'm getting back on my feet, I can do something.
Weekends went far apart. And at night, you know, it's dark time when a fella gets home.
Yeah. It's 5:30 now.
Yeah.
Well, now you see.
You have to go home.
No, Frank's got his car going now. I don't have to go home.
His Cadillac?
Yeah. All right. I can be here by 5:00 in the evening. And I can see the cows before it gets too dark, every one of them. And I think we ought to do it. I mean, and if one don't look too promising for that night, well, keep her up here till we can see her the next morning.
I tell you what, too much trouble. That's you know, just checking the cow. But when you get that ride swing, that'd be nice.
I drove around that down there, guy. Drove down.
Yeah.
Across the end.
Oh, you did.
Oh yeah.
You mean you drive? You could drive around it?
Yeah, I drove all the way around it.
It's wet.
It's wet, but I went right on.
That water's standing out there.
I went right on through that water. And that ryegrass over there is coming up just as thick as a hair on a dog's back.
Yeah. Little stuff that's not even any color to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as thick as a hair on a dog's back.
But it's not coming up over there.
Yes, it's coming.
In the grass.
It's coming now. I saw some sprigs of seed just a while ago.
You did?
Yes, sir.
Just afraid that's gonna have to be killed back first.
It's coming.
Well, it took it plenty of time.
That's right. It took 2 months, ain't it, for a night.
Lord, awful long time. I put that in early.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there's something coming.
Well, you see, we saw it there a little, you know, that time. And then I left the cows there, but they didn't hurt that.
No, and then, well, it was dry there for a while. See, it was dry.
Yes.
In for you. You'll eat a bite.
No, I've got stuff over the trailer, say. I'm wanting to do for myself.
You're wanting to do for yourself. But, you know, I don't know why that's not a good thing every once in a while. You know? You just need to sort of be all. I think everybody does. Get your breath.
Well, I see Helen. She's off at night. By herself. Nobody to fuss with. Nobody to argue with. Her mind is completely relaxed all night long.
That's right. Over there at work. Mm-hmm.
She's got no worry. None at all.
That's right. She can sort of disengage.
All right. When I'm at work, I'm harassed from the time I get there till I get away from there. And I go home, and the children harass me from the time I get there till I get away.
After you?
Yeah, so by gosh, I just stay gone.
They want to do something all the time?
They're wanting to do something, or fussing and growling among themselves, and I just by golly go. And, I can come down here and just sit down. Just relax. Forget about it.
Where did I get the idea that if you put a new pump in, you had to put a new jet down at the bottom of it?
I don't know where you got it, but that's a bad idea to get.
You don't need it.
You don't need it. I put 3 pumps on that well up in Hawthorne, and I ain't never pulled that tube to put a new jet on the bottom. I ain't never pulled it.
Why the pump just wore out?
The pump wore out, but the...
They won't last forever.
What, the foot valve?
The pump won't last forever.
No, they won't last forever.
I don't know where I got that idea. I want to find out who that pump man is that's over there at Cross Creek living in that shack at Miss Listen's. He's been putting in pumps all these years. Still at it, apparently by himself. He might have a little help. You never heard of anybody over there, and I don't know his name.
I've never heard of nobody. And when I was trying to get a well down, put down, I canvassed this company from one end to the other.
Who is the fella you got? He was from
Orange Springs, over the other side of Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Down next to D-Land, down in that.
Yeah.
Forget his name.
I remember his tall, slender fellow.
Yeah. Good man.
Yeah. But you could find him again if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Done exactly what he said he'd do. Just exactly what he said he'd do.
How about that? And before that, there's been half a dozen of them just kept kept you waiting.
Kept me waiting. And if I hadn't got a hold of him, I still wouldn't have had water.
All that time, you'd been, they'd promised you to come on over here.
Yeah, just kept promising. But promises don't get water.
Why would that fella down there at Ocala, the parts man, tell me on the telephone that they didn't make, they didn't rebuild those carburetors? He just didn't know?
Well, I'm going to tell you now. It's like this. He knew who I was.
You made that clear.
That's right.
The first, that you brought that big tractor down there.
That's right. And he knew that I knew what I was talking about when I said they rebuilt them things.
Yes. And he said he'd have one there in 4 or 5 days.
That's right.
And you said not to hurry.
But I want it.
But that put the B on him, didn't it?
That put them, that's right.
But it's been a long way around the mulberry bush, hasn't it?
Yeah, what did you tell him when you called him?
Just what you said. I said I want to rebuild carburetor.
Uh-huh.
He said they don't rebuild it. I said, well, have you got any other. After I heard it, you know, $40. Anything else that I could use? And, And then I went up to White Electric and started talking about it. They thought they might rig up something. Well, they had the one you
know.
And he said that new carburetor retailed for $59.
Yeah.
And that's the best he could do on it, $40 or $39. I said, Lord help us. Just an old plain 1954 tractor. But he says, they was always high. Is that right?
Yeah, because they never, as a rule, they never give no trouble.
Nobody needed one.
No. That's why it's so high. You take something that moves fast, it's a lot cheaper than something that don't move at all.
Yeah. Yeah. The other just stays on the shelf.
Yeah. Collects dust.
Yeah. Well, I don't hold up the operation. You've had enough for one day, I think.
Well, let's see, what hours do you work now?
I generally go up there about 11 o'clock and get back about 9.
Now tomorrow, with the cows just done calving, I'll be in here just as soon as I can get in from work. Look them up and if there's any doubt, well, then we can hold them, you know what I mean, for the next morning and see them twice a day. Because we don't want to lose no calves this year, guy.
Oh, I'm kind of knew that miserable last year.
We don't want to lose none. We don't want to lose no cows.
I got into all this other stuff, right? And I didn't even have a bed out to check them. So I didn't know what I did. So I don't know what I'd done about it. Check them in September, you know.
Well, Well, I'm gonna.
The director said they didn't go over to the program at the
I thought they were all going over there.
I was tempted to go too.
Helen, she had lost my way.
She's had enough of it, I guess, for 1 week. Well, bring him back over here. We had a good time that night you all dropped in.
Yeah, well?
Had a good time.
She may be over more eating, I don't know.
I think about that, right?